It's time to get underway with a special edition of Radio Friendships from our location in Galveston, Texas, where we're helping to meet the needs of people with the love of Jesus Christ. Radio Friendships is brought to you by Don and Sandra Tipton of Friendships Unlimited, which is located in Lake Charles, Louisiana. As the Lord said in Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together.
Great day and welcome to Radio Friendships. This is Jeff Reed from Galveston, Texas. Well, today we're going to stray a little bit from our normal programming from Galveston. This is an interview that we had set up quite some time ago, and we're really excited about it, so we didn't want to miss it at all. So we kept the schedule, and today we are going to bring you Vicki Courtney. So welcome to Radio Friendships, Vicki.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, our guest, Vicki Courtney, is the founder of Virtuous Reality Ministries and VirtuousReality.com, an online magazine for middle school and high school girls that reaches more than 150,000 girls and mothers a year through its website, resources, and events. In addition, her popular blog, Virtual Alert, on VirtualAlert.com, receives 20,000 unique visitors a month from fellow parents nationwide. Through her ministry and books, she confronts the cultural concerns facing children and their parents today and offers a blueprint for addressing these issues. She has appeared on Fox News, CNN, The 700 Club, Good Morning American Radio, Focus on the Family, and has been featured in numerous newspapers and magazines. She currently resides in Austin, Texas with her husband, Keith. Now, Vicki, that is quite a list of accomplishments. And I'll tell you something, Vicki, we are extremely excited here at Radio Friendships about this book. And I'll be quite honest with you, when it first got here, I thought, well, I've got two boys. What am I going to do with this book? But I wanted to know more about what you had to say. And I'll tell you what, it is eye-opening. It is a very bold, very, you don't tiptoe around the issues.
Well, thank you for that. The book is a summation of my decade, a little over a decade spent in the trenches ministering to young ladies and their mothers. And so it was, trust me when I say it was therapeutic to write the book. I have a daughter and two sons, so it can match you on that one a little bit. But I was raising her, you know, in the final stage from the cradle to college. Tell your daughters the truth about life before they believe the culture's lies. So the irony is my own daughter graduated from high school just as I was wrapping up this book. And so that was emotional in its own way and rather ironic that I was fulfilling the very tagline on the back cover. And the book, to me, was the book I wished I'd had maybe 10 or 15 years ago. But want to give that hope to mothers out there that it's never too late to begin having these very critical and necessary conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's part of the appeal of this book. You know, there's so many books out there that want to be a fix-all to everything. And you said it throughout the book, you know, this is not the answer. You point people to the solution, and that's found through our Lord and Savior. And that's a very important part that I think a lot of people are missing.
Well, and really, you're right. It's so critical to do that because in today's culture, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. And I want to remind mothers that, you know, there's no reason to lose hope. We know who wins this battle in the end.
Yeah.
And so God's grace is sufficient to carry us through, even with a challenge we've been given in parenting a girl in today's very promiscuous culture.
Well, without giving away the book, you said five conversations you must have with your daughter. What are those?
Well, first, let me explain, too, that each of the conversations that I discuss in the book has about 3 to 5 chapters that go along with it. And the premise of the entire book is that these are not one-time conversations. These are, each of themselves, these are ongoing conversations that at some basic level should begin, at least get it on your daughter's radar when she's young and begin laying that very necessary foundation on God's truth. So your listeners know that really is the premise behind it. It's not the kind of book where you read it and then you schedule 5 little coffee dates with your daughter and, you know, purge a general summation of each one. It's a way of life. It's putting into practice, becoming an engaged parent and opening up those lines of communication and building a bridge with your daughter to help her break down the culture's lies and become a critical thinker. that as she's exposed to these messages, that's our ultimate goal. Now that my daughter has left for college, you know, my prayer becomes that the foundation that I helped her build on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He will bring back to mind all of those truths, but that she would also be a critical thinker, that as she's exposed to the culture's lies, she would have the tools needed to question that and to break it down and replace those lies with God's amazing truth.
That's so important, so critical for especially young women of this age. They are bombarded by, I want to use the word, and I think I can safely do it, brainwashing by the media through music, movie. There's a direct attack on the value of young women today.
Well, there really is. And again, it was hard for me, quite honestly, to narrow it down to just five conversations, as you can imagine. But I like that you use that word bombardment. I mean, it really is. And so in serving in the trenches there, you know, to our girls and doing many events across the country and such, I began to hear from them or get a real good pulse, if you will, on what the main issues were. And that really, again, is where the book came from, is if we had to cover just five. But these were five that continued to rear, you know, their ugly heads, especially, well, really all of them. I've had several different hosts say, well, which one's your favorite one? And I can't even begin to pick because I'm passionate about all five.
Yeah. Well, there is a real transparency from the author in this book, and there's a very candid recalling of some of your mistakes. Why did you think that was so important to include those stories?
Really, what I wanted to do is a couple reasons in doing that. A lot of moms feel inadequate parenting a daughter because we suffer from the syndrome where we have these flashbacks of who we were at that same age and the mistakes we were making. And it's easy to feel like you're disqualified from, well, how can I talk to my daughter about saving sex for marriage when, you know, I didn't follow through with that. And so there's a lot of, and that's just one example of many, but there's a lot of moms who I know, when they pick up the book, they feel like, oh, wow, how can I teach my daughter this? And then what if she asks me, well, Mom, what about you? You know, and I address that topic in the book as well. So I want to give Mom that hope that, you know, you don't have to. There's a balance in that. We don't want to give too much information out. But you can also share or convey to your daughter just a general sense of regret over past mistakes that you made. And I think that there's a lot of power in that with our daughters. And so instead of it defeating Mom and leaving her feeling inadequate, I want her to know that just as God has done in my life, He can use it for His good and His glory and can use it to make a point to her own daughter. And so, again, I want to give moms that hope, but I also think it's very necessary at some level to remind our girls, you know, and for us to be able to go back to those years as well so that we're not always snapping into autopilot mom mode. Yeah. It's good for us to remember, you know, I was my daughter's age at one point, and even though now I'm in mom mode and I'm thinking this is ridiculous that she's asking me to do this or that or I'm having to face this challenge, let's flash back to, you know, things that our mothers probably thought were pretty ridiculous as well.
Yeah.
And how very important it was to us at the time.
You know, that was another interesting part about this book that I just found fascinating. The way you love to go back to vintage diaries and old books and old things, that really brings things to light.
Oh, that was really one of my favorite parts of researching for the book. I was fascinated with, you know, well, how was it for the average teenage girl or young girl growing up in the 1950s or the 1900s or the late 1800s? And so I love gathering that data and really for the purpose of letting moms know or giving them a good word picture of how times have changed. I know this particularly came through in conversation number two, which talks about don't be in such a hurry to grow up. And I hear from a lot of mothers, I mean, that alone could be an entire book. And we're fearful for the direction the culture takes our girls. And again, it's impossible to protect them 100% of the time from influences that rob them of their childhood. And so I wanted to convey to mothers by going back to some of the vintage materials that, you know, in the past, 50, 100 plus years ago, society at large partnered with parents to protect the innocence of childhood. And that's what is disturbing to me today and where I'm hoping and praying that God will use this book really to start a movement among mothers, especially that they would get their bravery back and they'd say, you know what, I can't sit back and feel all defeatist and like the battle's too big. And I can't sit back and let the culture run away with influencing my child.
Yeah.
And so that they can take charge again, get their bravery back, and say, you know, it's up to me. I can't wait around for society to come to its senses. And so at this point, we've got to take charge, put this nonsense behind us about trying to be our kids' buddies, and take charge of the situation and be a good steward with the children that God has given us. So again, that's so much of where the passion comes from, is just a call to moms. Let's fulfill this role, this very key and critical role that God has given us to raise the next generation.
Amen. And, you know, we really can make a difference. I know that sometimes we think, well, the majority of people feel this way, so what difference can we make? If you look at world history, cultures, civilizations were changed by a handful of people. You don't need a majority to make a difference in this world. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I would absolutely agree. And I would add to that, too, that if you go back and you look at some of the most famous men and women that have ever lived, a lot of times you can trace it back to a mother who was praying behind the scenes or devoted to raising her children according to God's word.
Amen.
And that's where I want to give mothers that hope of just the power that they can have in changing the world through what they're teaching their own child.
Okay. Well, I wanted to mention your website because this is a good resource. But why don't you tell us real quickly what we might find on virtualalert.com?
Well, Virtue Alert began a few years back, and really it's rooted in, it was an afternoon where I was watching a Super Bowl game, the famous one where Janet Jackson performed. And I don't need to tell you any more about that when we all know what happened. And I had a room full of youth at my house and was just speechless. And they're all looking at me for some kind of explanation as to what happened. And so in a nutshell, that's where Virtue Alert began. I felt like, you know, we need to have a forum out there where like-minded parents who are committed to raising their children according to God's biblical standards can come together and talk about some of the things our kids are being exposed to and what we can do today to make a difference and to counteract these negative influences. So virtuealert.com, that's where they go. And once a week, I tackle at least one relevant topic in the media that our kids are being exposed to.
Well, we're going to go ahead and take that short break now. And when we come back, I'd like to talk to you a little bit more and introduce Patricia. There's a young lady in here that has a few questions for you as well.
Great.
Okay, we'll be right back.
If your heart yearns to serve God, but you don't know what to do, find a man or woman who's already doing something that's laid out in the Bible and help them. If a man in your church preaches on the city street, hold a flashlight on his Bible while he reads. Intercede for him in prayer. Wash his car so he has more time to preach. Push him toward the mark. If you were a father with an estate and had given your eldest son the job of mowing the lawn, wouldn't it thrill you to look out the window and see your younger son, who had not yet received his own assignment, pushing against his brother's back, helping to move the lawnmower, anxious to further the needs of his father's house? Help your brother, and before long, the Lord will clarify your mission. We are men and women of purpose. Your birth was no mistake, and it's no coincidence that you've been chosen to live in a time such as this. There's a reason you're on this earth. Your life is constantly full of great opportunity. God awaits your decisions. The choices are yours. Friendships provides disaster relief, medical services, and humanitarian aid. All staff are volunteer, and there's no charge to participate. Looking for a meaningful way to spend your days and an effective way to serve God? All skills are needed, willing hearts of all ages. If you are a recent high school graduate and would like to learn about relief missions while seeking God's will for your life, ask about our apprenticeship program, RAMP.
Friendship. Live the dream.
For more information, go to friendships.org. Okay, we're back with Vicki Courtney, and we were talking a little bit about her new book, Five Conversations You Must Have with Your Daughter. Now, this is one of several books and many outreaches that Vicki has been able to be a part of, just putting herself out there as an offering to mothers all across the nation that, frankly, are a little confused on how to best raise a child in this generation. You know, before the break also, Vicki, we talked about virtualalert.com, but there's also virtuousreality.com. What's the difference between those two websites?
Well, virtuousreality.com began in 2000, and it is an online magazine for middle school and high school girls. I call it, when I created it, the wholesome alternative to the trashy fashion magazine. And so this is a place where middle school and high school girls can go and read up on that book that's popular among their friends, or that hit song that's out there that's inappropriate and wouldn't be honoring to God. And so we're tackling a lot of the things real time that our girls are exposed to. And then Virtue Alert being the counterpart to what we're doing for the girls, but the parent resource tool. And I should add, too, that Virtue Alert tackles topics that lend themselves to parenting both girls and boys. So it's not just for parents of daughters.
And these are extremely popular right now. Did that surprise you at all, that they were going to be this popular?
I didn't have a counter on virtuealert.com until January of 2008.
And really?
I was absolutely stunned and shocked beyond belief at how many visitors were stopping by. It was almost overwhelming. I think I spent at least 2 weeks in shock.
Well, let's hope that's a great sign that that the world's not really offering this generation too much, and they're starting to see that. Let's hope so.
Well, and I love that moms and dads, and I get youth ministers on there as well, they can come in and even offer further wisdom than I could ever even imagine by commenting and such. And so it's been just a wonderful, wonderful resource tool that helps me a lot of the times, quite honestly.
Yeah. Well, let's try and help out somebody else. There's somebody in the studio today that would like to ask you a few questions. So, Ms. Patricia, you have any questions for Vicki?
Hi, Vicki.
Hi, Patricia.
Well, I liked your book a lot. And, you know, in the beginning, I was talking about the media, and the media is kind of raising this generation. And there's nothing you can do about protecting your children from that. They're going to learn this stuff regardless. But what do you think the parents need to do to get to them first before the media does?
Well, the way I tackle it in that particular conversation is I tell mothers that, you know, we need to be discerning, first of all, over what our kids are coming in contact with. And you're right, we can't protect them from everything. But I do think that we can step in and we can draw some firm boundaries and talk about some types of media that won't be allowed. I mean, for example, we have cable TV, but we block VH1 and MTV and some other types of stations like that because I just didn't want to fight the battle, quite honestly. And I don't think there's anything that I can find that's productive on those shows. So I'm quick to tell mothers that you need to decide for yourself which battles are worth choosing. But at the same time, I don't think we should let our kids have a free-for-all when it comes to the internet and television and music and all of that. I do talk about in one of the conversations to not go so overboard with rules and regulations that you produce this child that, you know, you provoke them to wrath at that level. And so there's a very careful balance, as we know, but I think given what our kids are exposed to, it's our role as parents and protectors. We need to be the umbrella of protection for our children to have a level of involvement in and a say in what they can come in contact with in our homes.
You know, Vicki, another thing about this book, exactly what you're talking about right there, you give some very practical and very realistic solutions or ways to approach some of the new challenges that young women are facing today. It's not a blanket thing, well, we need to just do away with all technology and MySpace. Matter of fact, it reminds me of another book you had that was very popular, the one, I just forgot
logged
the name.
Logged On and Tuned Out.
Yes,
yes,
Logged On and Tuned Out. Where can people find your books?
Well, I usually just in general route people to Amazon.com and you plug in my name and they all come up in one spot. Or my author website is always a safe bet, and that is Vicki Courtney, Vicki with an I, Courtney.com. And all of my books should be listed, I know, on my website.
Okay, and I wanted to point out a couple other things that you find in Five Conversations You Must Have with Your Daughter. And that was you had some sections in there about cellulite. And I thought that was pretty interesting. Who talks about cellulite? But this is
I actually just got asked the same question yesterday by another show. And they said, I think this is the first time we have ever read a book where someone has dared to talk about cellulite. I actually had a lot of fun with that. And that was a topic where, you know, here I am writing the book and my daughter's in her senior year of high school. And you know, really in the research process, that's where I began to see a lot of the myth about it and that I bought into myself. And so that was one of those topics where I took my daughter out for coffee and said, this has not been a conversation I've had with you over the years, but, you know, I want you to know some basic facts about this. And she loved it. She's actually conveyed some of those facts to her friends now that she's in a dorm. And, you know, that's just the chorus of girls complaining 24/7 about that. And so, yeah, it's kind of a unique factor there. But
yeah. Well, again, I want to really encourage people to check out this book. I mean, I could sit here and read the chapter titles and people would be really drawn into this. I mean, just the titles alone will get you going. There's a lot of things covered here that we absolutely did not have time to cover in this short a time of an interview. But I'm telling you, Vicki, this was an awesome book. I don't say that too often, but I was pleasantly surprised not only at your writing ability, but your bravery. Your willingness to put yourself out there and attack some of the issues that, quite frankly, many Christians want to tiptoe around.
Well, thank you. Your encouragement comes at a good time. And as you can imagine, when you have a blog called Virtue Alert and you're unveiling various issues that are real time and putting them on the radar of parents, I do get a level of criticism when the general public stumbles upon it. And so thank you for that word of encouragement. Yeah. I do feel like a lot of times I'm on the front lines and it would be so much easier to just stay shallow. But I feel like the times are serious and we can't afford to do that any longer.
Agreed. Well, we have time for one more question from Miss Patricia.
Sure. Vicki, I've always wondered this question. My mother always, she's pretty open with me, but a lot of my friends, their parents aren't usually open with them when it comes to sex or any other thing. Why do you think parents are so closed about talking to their kids about that? And by the time they're ready to talk to them about that, they already did everything.
No, great question. And one of the things I talk about in that particular conversation entitled Sex is Great and Worth the Wait is that we as Christians have got to accept that it's time for a new and upgraded sex talk. We've got to put aside this myth that it's a one-time conversation where you sit down and you just have the birds and bees talk with your child and then you say, oh yeah, and you need to wait because God says so. I mean, that is not enough. And you alluded to this, we need to get past any fear that we have over talking to them. I think a lot of parents maybe, and we covered this toward the beginning of this interview, you know, they feel disqualified maybe talking to their kids because they're worried their child might ask some difficult questions. Like, well, what about you, Mom? You know, and how do you address that? So I go into some of that in that particular conversation. But again, the times are serious. If we are not talking to our kids about sex, we can be assured that the media and other sources out there or their peer group will do the job for us, and there'll be a lot of misinformation and, of course, information that our kids are given that doesn't stand up to God's word. So we've got to accept that responsibility and get past any fears we have over it. And like I said, we've got to come up with a new and improved sex talk. And that's where I lay it out for moms, facts that I think a lot of mothers didn't even realize related to the fallout of not saving sex for marriage, going against God's standard. And I feel like, you know, we need to give not just our daughters, but our sons, all of that information and being honest with them so they know really what is on the line here, when or if I make that choice, what is on the line. And then what is the reward that comes from waiting?
Well, we're going to kind of finish things up with a couple scriptures that you had in the Size, Demise, and Weight debate chapter. You know, these scriptures, you like to go back into vintage stuff. Well, these scriptures still apply to the challenges of a modern world. It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And then you added here, as a bonus, she might also be reminded of Galatians 1:10. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. That ties it in beautifully of not conforming to the pattern of this world. This world has very little to offer in the long run. Really doesn't, does it?
No, it really doesn't. And if I had to pick two, you know, theme verses to the entire book, I'd probably land on those two verses because, again, the overall purpose of this book is for mothers to equip their daughters to recognize the culture's lies when they see them and measure them, stand them up right next to God's truth, and God's truth should win every time in the end. And so those passages of scripture are perfect for really summarizing the gist of the entire book.
Okay. Five Conversations You Must Have With Your Daughter by Vicki Courtney. We recommend this. And as a matter of fact, just want to remind you, the first two callers, I usually don't give away my own book. I usually read it and save it for all the memories of the interview. I'm going to give away mine as well because I think it's too important to just put up on the shelf and be a souvenir. So for the first two callers, I want to give away Vicki Courtney's Five Conversations You Must Have With Your Daughter. Thank you so much for joining us today, Vicki. It's been a real pleasure.
Well, thank you for having me.
And we just want to remind all you young ladies out there, remember, God has placed a gem inside of each and every one of you, a gem of incredible value. Now, whatever package it comes in does not change the value of that gem. Hold on to that gem. Christ has put it there. Thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Friendships. Have a great day, and God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Friendships broadcast today. Don and Sandra Tipton invite you to join them again next time as we stand in awe of the great God we serve. Friendships is based at Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. For information about Friendships Unlimited, dial 337-433-5022 or go on the internet to friendships.org.